back to Lounging with Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
And today we are joined by librarian Lucas Maxwell, who is an incredible librarian, so we wanted to pick his brain and get to know him a bit more.
First of all, we just want to know about your route to being a school librarian.
First of all, I want to congratulate you, Claire, on being up for the School Librarian of the Year. Very well deserved. So good luck. And
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to put that out there. So being a school librarian, it wasn't my dream or anything. But I just kind of got into it almost through, I want to say, desperation, in that I didn't know what I wanted to do. I did so many jobs in Canada and elsewhere, and I could never find anything that fit. And I did a lot of really horrible jobs, which I could do a whole another podcast on. But I worked at an archive in Halifax, Nova Scotia, in Canada, and I loved that. But there wasn't a lot of opportunity there to actually remain there. They had kind of contracts, but I did love working in archives. And then I was able to get a job at a public library as a teen. The official title was teen services librarian, and I was in a city, and I hadn't really lived or been in a city before, and in an area of the city that was economically deprived. There was a lot of gang issues, there were drug issues, but there was also this really tight community spirit, and nothing could have prepared me in library school to go to a public library in an area like that. And it was amazing. I loved it. The community is really great there. And I still kind of miss working there. I miss working in that kind of with that camaraderie. And although I do have great camaraderie now, but it was just, it was very interesting. So there was a lot of challenges there. You were dealing with homeless patrons. You were dealing with patrons who, again, had addiction issues, mental health issues, but also patrons that you could organize these really cool events with. And it was such a really cool, eclectic place. And it was there that I started to work with schools. There were quite a few schools really close by. So I would go to the schools and just do reading programs and trying to get the kids and teens into the libraries. And my focus was teens. That was my official title. But I also kind of, quote unquote, oversaw the children's service. And it was great. So that was my introduction to school libraries. But I loved working in the public library there and in Halifax. And it paved the way, really, because I was all these things that I wanted to do that I couldn't do necessarily just because of I was in a giant system. I was in this massive public library system that served a lot of people, and it was just hard to get things rolling some of the time. So then when we came to the UK really on holiday. My wife's British, but we weren't expecting to stay. We just said, we'll look around and see if there's, just something, a change. We'll look for a change. And I just saw this posting at Glenthorne, and I applied for it, and I went in to the interview with the worst opening line you can have, which was, I'm not legally allowed to work in this country, but they still let me come to the interview. And I had to be honest with them, but they asked me to join. We became quite serious about moving over and things like that. So that was my first introduction to school libraries, is at Glenthorne, where I'm currently up in there. Oh, this will be my ninth year in September. So it was a very roundabout way. And like previous to that, it was just a series of, I almost said unfortunate events, but a series of horrible jobs. I can't even describe working in slaughterhouses, working as a door-to-door salesman, working as a roofer, also, you name it. I did it, and I just didn't know, because I didn't know what I was doing. Tried to work as a fisherman. I never knew. I didn't know. And I knew I liked to read. I was like, I know I like to read, so what? I didn't know what else to do. And I found this program, and it was just by luck, really, pure chance. So, that was my journey, I guess, to becoming a school librarian.
I think doing some of those jobs probably builds personality and character, I guess.
It does, and it helps you with, there was a while where I did stand-up comedy in Canada for a few years, was thinking, well, I could, thinking, hoping I could do it as a living, but it's really hard. And you have, and it just wasn't, you know, I wasn't that good at it. But that helps you, getting heckled at a bar at 1 a.m. by people helps you when you're standing in front of a group of year seven or eights, maybe year eights or year nines. And it's like, there's nothing you can throw at me right now that I haven't had in a blues bar at 1 a.m. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's good. It does prepare you for that kind of stuff. So
what was Glenthorne Library like when you first went there? How have you brought it on?
When I got there, they didn't have, quote unquote, a professional librarian. They had a really nice staff member who cared about the children a lot. She's no longer working at the school, but she introduced me to the school, kind of the school dynamic. And it was a small space. It had an upstairs with 30 computers, which was, which I learned now, not every school obviously has, but it, that was a challenge, going up and down constantly to monitor behavior and et cetera. Mm. And the space downstairs had enough for a class to come in, or a group to come in. They didn't have a lot of books, and the books weren't up to date, quote unquote. They didn't have any really graphic novels or manga or anything like that, which I immediately started to build the collection. The head teacher from day one at Glenthorne, Steve Hume, has been 150% behind me. And I didn't know that. I mean, I should have known, but I was thinking, wow, this is amazing, the culture here. But then now after years of meeting other librarians, I know that not everyone has that support. But to have that right at the beginning and kind of given me a blank slate and saying, look, do what you want to do, try what you want to try, you know, that's it. They again just let me run with it, which I didn't have in the public library. There are all these bureaucratic steps you had to go through, which I understand why they're there, but it can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. So for me, just to go, okay, we're going to do an open mic. And that's what I did right at the beginning, and have kids come in playing original songs. And it really just started right from the beginning. I tried to create this culture of, you own this space. Let's have some fun. Let's, you know, of course, build a love of readings. I started the manga club, which is still going very strong. And that has developed into many different things, the manga club. It developed into our maker space, which is now a separate program. A lot of those manga club kids turned into the open mic organizers. A lot of those manga club kids became our library assistants, which were library assistants from year seven right till year 13. And yeah, so that's what it was. It was interesting. It was a bit chaotic, obviously, because I had no clue what I was doing, really. I just thought, oh, I'm going to try all these different things. And it doesn't matter if they fail, really. A lot of them didn't cost very little at all. But my main priority, too, was to build the collection. It was, unfortunately, they weren't in any order. The books weren't in any organization. So I had to spend a lot of time putting them in order by author and author's last name, and just building the collection. I did a ton of weeding. I spent the whole first, you know, term weeding stuff out, really.
So with all that being said, you know, you've initiated a lot of different programs in your library. Where do you think school libraries are heading in the future?
Oh, wow.
I know, big question.
It's hard to say what's going to happen in September with new guidelines coming out and things like that. But I don't like to say, oh, we're going to go virtual. I don't like to think that, but I think a lot of what we'll do, it is sad. We were talking before we went on, that was kind of sad. It is. It's sad to me to think that I can't have, like, I'm thinking of having, we're of course keeping the book club going, but okay, how do I do that? So I have to have year group bubbles in the book club. It creates a sterility to it. It's not as organic to me, and it's not as I don't know, it's something about it that just feels a bit off. And I think therefore we're going to have to be quite creative and try to use some technologies, but we're all missing the human element so much. I'm going to try to recreate it as best as I can, but I think school libraries are going to have to develop skills to reach the students in different ways. Well, maybe not different ways, but for instance, we were talking about what we're going to do when we go back. At the beginning, I don't think I'm going to allow them to just browse the shelves. They're going to have to request through email or through the online reservation system. When are they going to do that? We're going to have to different pickup times for their books and things like that. So I think for a while, at least, where we're headed, especially in this nightmare we're in, school libraries are going to have to be a bit more sterile, which is really depressing to me. But we're going to have to be that way. And I'm trying to think of programs to do that can allow for this to them to be apart. And I stole this idea, but I kind of adapted it a bit. I'm going to get them to do book reviews on paper airplanes and then throw them to each other so they don't actually have to be next to each other. And then they can throw them to each other. This will dissolve into chaos, don't worry, in the library. But they can throw them to each other and, read them out and analyze them or whatever if they want to. But there's different techniques around that. But I don't know. I think we're just going to have to be, school librarians are going to have to be, take it slow like everybody. And unfortunately, I don't have like a magic idea that I think we're going to go. I think they're going to be just as important, but approaching it in a very different way, sadly.
All right, so you brighten the mood. Let's talk about some books.
Yeah.
So, Lucas, what have you been reading?
So initially I had a huge slump where I couldn't read, I couldn't focus on anything, but I have been reading quite a bit lately. I just finished Blood Moon by Lucy, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Cthu, I'm sorry, Lucy, if you listen to this. Blood Moon is, I think, a book that I wanted to try to get into the hands as many, I would say you're 10 plus. It's a pretty amazing story. It's written in poetry.
Mm-hmm. And oh, yeah.
It deals with a topic that isn't really covered in my opinion. Maybe it is in some areas, but in a lot of books, not covered in a lot of books. But as a father of a daughter, it's something that it shouldn't be so taboo. So it's about a girl who, when she has her first sexual experience, she begins to menstruate. And she gets bullied online because of this. It leaks out that this has happened. And the online bullying she receives is vicious and how it affects her mental health. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like kind of this ooh, taboo topic, but it really shouldn't be. We had Holly Bourne visit our school a few years ago. I think she spoke to year nines. I believe she did. And she openly talks about this subject and you could tell it made the boys in the group uncomfortable, but it's something that shouldn't be classified as disgusting and everything like that. And there's a comic that I read just by chance. I just called Go With the Flow, which is about teens who campaign to have sanitary products put in their school for free because you have to pay in the school. I think it's an American book, but it is really good. It's really well done by Lily Williams, Go With The Flow. So I read that back in like April. Another one I read for a much younger group, not younger age, is called A Kind of Spark by Elle McNichol, which I can't recommend enough. If you liked or heard of a book called Can You See Me by Libby Scott and Rebecca Westcott, it's on the same line. So a girl named Addie, she's autistic, she's 11. She discovers that in her Scottish village, there were witches who were executed centuries before. And she asks her local council to put up a memorial in memory of these people, but they won't because they think it's a shameful event. So she does this campaign. And it's all about how, as well as her perspective being autistic and how different things affect her differently, down to, uncomfortable clothes, lighting, different noises and things like that. It's brilliantly written. We're doing it as our big summer read where I'm just encouraging all staff and students to read it. I've got some activities around it. So highly recommend that. Coming out in October, I was sent a book, very fortunate to be sent a book called The Wolf Road by Richard Lambert, which I cannot recommend enough either. It's about a boy who, right off the bat, so this is the first page, they're in a horrible car crash, his parents are killed, it's really sad. He crawls out of the wreckage and he sees this wolf standing on the middle of the road, and he becomes obsessed with this image of this wolf, and he moves in with his grandmother in a different village. I think he goes up north somewhere, and again, he's haunted by this image of this wolf, and he finds out that the local farmers are all complaining of a wolf killing their sheep. And once it leaks out in his school that he's his parents were killed in this way, these group of bullies target him, actually in a very dangerous way. I don't know, it just reminded me, he's kind of like a Holden Caulfield type character. It's kind of written in a, I don't want to say stream of consciousness, but it is very well written. I thought it was great. So I don't know, I could go on for ages, so I won't.
Yeah, I bet you.
What have you guys been reading?
Well, I've just finished Patron Saints of Nothing by Randy Ribet. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. I mean, we're always looking for books that are set in other countries because there's not actually lots out there, and this is obviously set in the Philippines. But yeah. I just loved the fact that you got so much culture and history and language. I mean, the story was brilliant. I would say the favourite of the Carnegie ones that I've read so far, because we didn't get our Carnegie books until very late, Lucas, because they went missing at school. So we're gradually getting through them now.
I love that one. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. It was fantastic, that one.
You just reminded me of one I wanted to promote, Bear Mouth by Liz Hyder. I don't know if you've read that yet.
No.
Oh, that one, I should have said it at the beginning, because that is, because it's written in a way where the main character, I'm not going to spoil it, it's easily spoiled, so I won't spoil it, but the main character can't write very well, so Liz Hyder wrote from her from their perspective, showing that, you know, the writing is really kind of bad, but it improves over throughout the course of the novel. And it's about kids who work in a mine, and they're treated really horribly. You don't really know what time period it is, what's going on. They're in complete almost darkness all the time. They're being horribly abused by these mine owners, and they stage a revolt. It's really good. Have you read A Good Girl's Guide to Murder yet?
Oh my goodness. Oh yeah, I so love the fact that it was written like in an EPQ.
Well, to that point, I convinced you know, we're doing this tutor time reading program. The head teacher wants to get all students reading as much as possible. So they wanted a book for year 11s that was about, they wanted reading for pleasure, but they want it as well to kind of have a theme of thinking of the future, thinking, planning ahead, etc. And I got them to, they're all going to read A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, because I said it is actually a really good example of how to do an amazing EPQ activity log, which they all kind of struggle with. They all struggle with that aspect. So every year 11 in September, we're going to start reading A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, which I'm really excited about. Because I love the sequel. Sometimes the sequel doesn't live up in some cases, but I feel like the second one in this series does. It's the same character. One of her friends goes missing and she has to solve it. It's really good.
Sophie, you loved The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta, didn't you?
I did love that. Yeah, I finished that quite a while back now. Yeah, I loved that book.
I loved it too.
It was just so relatable, so I fell in love with it.
Yeah, he's great. It's a great book. I'm reading right now, currently I'm about halfway through Harrow Lake, which is a really creepy young adult horror involving movies and, you know, but this guy who films this cult movie in this place called Harrow Lake, and the movie's called Nightjar, and it's a horror, of course, and there are some tragic things around the movie that happens, and I don't want to spoil too much, but a girl ends up going to Harrow Lake. Her mother, who's not in the picture, you know, she doesn't, she's not in her life, starred in the movie. And of course, this girl, this teen, looks just like her mother. And there's something very wrong in this town. I haven't figured out what it is yet, but the whole town's tourism revolves around this cult movie. Everything's based on this cult movie. And it's creepy. There's something weird going on. But yeah, it's super creepy. So I know the teens are going to love it.
Okay, well, thank you, Lucas, for joining us today. You got loads of insight into lots of things. Definitely a librarian to follow if you're stuck for ideas.
Yeah, absolute amazing school librarian. Thank you so much for joining us, Lucas. It was brilliant.
Thanks, I really appreciate it.
So this is our last podcast before we come back in September. It's a nice long one as well, so you don't miss us too much. It is goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Bye. Take care. Thanks very much again.